This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs at Tab, who comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC. The 9 o'clock hour is a lot easier than the 10 o'clock hour to get online, so feel free to do so. And as usual and customary, we have some technology news for you, something I wanted to bring up. There's a bit of a warning here from a senator. U.S. government staff may be sending their smartphone web traffic wrapped in a bow to Russia, China via VPNs. So you've heard of VPNs. VPNs is a way for you to surf the internet more privately by passing your internet search traffic through what's called a VPN, a virtual private network. And of course, a lot of us use VPNs, and the folks in the government are using them too, but they're using these free VPN services that literally could be hosted who knows where. Could be hosted out of China, Russia, who knows. As we saw with the dinglings who had their emails hacked, like Podesta, and the whole big thing with the DNC not understanding how email security works, and Hillary with her server in her bathroom basement, whatever it was. A lot of folks in government don't understand how technology works. And they think, hey, let's do a VPN. I'll be a little more secure. And they download some VPN service from who knows where.
Because it's free.
Right. And there's no government regulation saying, well, you probably should use this VPN service or that VPN service. So this article from The Register, one of my favorite little blogs out there in the UK, talks about what's going on here as far as our government workers and what they do with VPNs. And you just, again, you can't make it up. There really should be some sort of rule. Again, the rule doesn't matter. You're not supposed to have your own email server, and people still do it. But at least there should be a rule that says you shouldn't do it. So at least somebody's saying what you should and should not do when it comes to VPNs. So we'll put a link up there for that. And Bob, what do you want to bring up today?
Oh, man. Google's on the headline.
Google, huh? What are they doing?
Yeah, well, I'll start off with Facebook quietly killed a map for discovering live videos.
Oh, they quietly killed it, huh? Because they've had issues with their live videos.
Yeah, well, that was basically how that one guy was live streaming his murderous rampage down in New Zealand.
Right.
So after that, they just decided that you didn't need a map. You can still find it. You have to go to a specific site in order to find live streams.
Right.
And they work on trying to eliminate stuff that's inappropriate.
Right, which they have to work a lot harder on.
So that's the Facebook. But then we get to Google. I got a bunch on Google. Google's new rules crack down on shady Chrome extensions.
All right.
The guidelines are designed to make sure you download only the Chrome extensions you want. To combat deceptive installation tactics involving its Chrome browser, Google has some new rules to protect users and hold developers accountable.
Good.
In a post on the Chrome developers blog Thursday, Google said, sometimes it sees developers using ads and landing pages that mislead users into installing pages they may not want or need.
Mm-hmm.
So going forward, Google will remove any Chrome extension that has no clear disclosure that explains what users can expect by installing the extension, has disclosures that use misleading language for the extension's purpose,
right,
hides disclosure language in large blocks of text down the page or using text and fonts that make the explanation hard to read, uses misleading interactive buttons or forms that trick users into believing they're taking an action, but they're actually and unknowingly installing the Chrome extension.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And uses iframes to show only a portion of the extension extension's web store page on a remote site. Right. This is enough to trigger an extension installation and show misleading text while still overriding the original Chrome web store description.
Right.
So, and then the developers don't follow guidelines will get a warning email, or the extension will be immediately removed depending on how badly it's violated the rules.
Good. I think it's a good idea. It's about time.
I agree.
Yeah.
So then Google Maps now tells you a restaurant's most popular dishes.
That's kind of handy.
So when you do the Google Maps, you know, and it shows you the restaurants and, you know, points of interest nearby.
Yeah.
It'll tell you what's the most popular dish that the restaurant serves.
I love that.
So, yeah, we'll post a link to those. And Google Maps adds speed camera data for more than 40 countries. So, Google owns Waze,
yes,
and you love Waze.
I love Waze. Waze is an amazing tool.
And so they're going to add the thing that'll tell you what your speed is and what the speed limit is for where you are.
Oh, that happens now in America, but this is in all these other foreign countries, right?
Correct. Gotcha. And it's also going to tell you where the speed cameras are.
They do that in America now, too.
Your speed.
As I go down to the Outer Banks every year, you can right there in Maryland, there's a bunch of these cameras that you're literally, I'm driving, you know, 500 miles down to North Carolina, and there's like three speed cameras that try to hit you with a ticket, right? If you go through the red light. I mean, people are stopping. Their light's still green and they're stopping because they don't want to get hit with these tickets.
Well, those are the red light cameras.
Red light cameras, yeah. That's what
the
I mean.
Speed limit cameras.
That's even worse. Oh, I see what you're saying. They're going to hit you for a speeding ticket with those things.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So
careful, be quiet. Aerosima wants to get down on the toll booths, too.
Well, will they know where it is? The Googleplex knows how to hide
that's
things.
Well, yeah. Well, the Googleplex will help us if we can actually tag it.
Well, you know, that's a double-edged coin there, the Googleplex.
Yes, it is.
Anyway.
Oh, speed limit cameras. Oh, my gosh.
So, here's one. Google holds firm on Chrome changes that may break ad blockers.
Man, a lot of Google news.
However, enterprise users may be exempt from the tweaks.
Mm.
So when it comes to concerns over new ad blocking limits planned for Chrome,
right.
Google has budged so far, but hasn't moved very far.
Mm-hmm.
The company is responding to criticism of proposed changes to its Chrome web browser that may cripple ad-blocking tools.
Gotcha.
Though Google revealed it's lifting some limits and plans on an exemption for enterprise users.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look...
Well, again, ads on the... I don't even understand ads on a web page. I've never clicked on one in my entire life.
Well, you know, if Google disables the ad blocker...
Yeah.
Google gets its revenue
from
the ads
I know.
That get blocked.
Yeah.
So
a little self-serving there.
Yeah,
huh?
A little self-serving. So they revealed the changes in October as part of a broader plan to improve Chrome extensions. In January, developers noticed that part of the plan called Manifest V3, which is version 3, could hurt ad blockers.
Yeah.
Manifest V3 is designed to improve Chrome extensions, perform privacy and security. But one part of that change limits how extensions will be able to examine aspects of websites.
Right.
So there's more on this. It's kind of interesting. But the bottom line is that
ad blockers are going to be affected.
Right. So the other, like Mozilla, you know, people may be going towards that. But some of Mozilla web browsers based on Chromium.
Right.
People are moving to the Edge, which is the new Edge, which is based on Chromium.
Too, yeah.
And to Mozilla, which is also based on Chromium. Yeah. But they're not going to, in those, at this point, they're not going to block the ad blockers.
For now.
For now.
This is one you brought up that you showed me this morning, Bob. I want to bring up facial recognition. Now, we talked a little bit about this. Last week, we brought up an old story about how Amazon's facial recognition identified like 28, you know, folks in Congress as being criminal, quote unquote, by accident. I had the quotes. Here, facial recognition technology is coming to New York School District next week. So they're going to add a facial recognition system. It's called Aegis. It's a suite of tools that aims to protect schools from shooting, sex offenders, and other dangers. So to better protect kids, the school district is going to literally give facial recognition a try. And it should be able to detect those folks that you wouldn't want in your school automatically. It'll detect guns. It'll detect weapons. It'll detect sex offenders. That would have been handy in New London recently. You're in a public school. The word public is in the name. You're right to privacy in a public school, as far as I'm concerned, is not expected. I don't have any problem with this. Now, Bob and I had a little discussion off air where he has a little problem with this. Bob, what is your concern about this?
Well, at its best, from what I've been able to read about facial recognition, mm-hmm. when it's dialed down and calibrated properly,
yeah.
it has it's 95% accurate.
It's pretty darn good.
95% accurate is okay.
Unless
you're in one of the 5% that comes up as a false positive.
Right.
You know, then, well, if it sees you as some criminal that's right. wanted or what have you, yes. and, you know, the police come in, they could shoot you.
Yeah, bad
that'd
news.
That'd be one
news.
Negative. Yeah. The other negative is, so let's say then they arrest you, and you have to prove you're innocent.
Right.
And you got to hire an attorney and right. pay all sorts of money that could bankrupt you.
Right. So you make a good point there.
So, you know.
So I guess you don't want to go into New York schools, period. No, I'm just kidding. but you make a good point that there is a negative downside. 5%, I'm not sure. I think I could live with it. If this technology works within a public school like this to actually alert folks of the bad guys walking around the campus, I'm not sure I'm opposed to it. Considering it's a public school. The word public is in the name.
I had an article last week about Amazon's recognition.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they had, you know, we talked about that, where they had like 26 members of Congress mm-hmm. were falsely identified. And the city of San Francisco banned its use in the city.
Interesting. That's true. They did. So, well, we'll see what happens with this. We'll put these stories and more on our website over at computertalkwithtab.com. Four lines open on this Saturday morning. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. You want to talk about facial recognition? You want to talk about cutting the cable? You want to talk about any problems with your computers? We're here till 11. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we've got Paul from Litchfield. I'm not sure if he's joking here, but what's going on, Paul? Paul, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. My cell phone's giving me grief this morning.
Uh-oh, you're being monitored.
Yeah, I tried sending you guys a link, but it came through all sorts of scramble. Apparently, some cybersecurity group has hired Hillary Clinton to give the keynote address.
What?
Yeah.
That's got to be fake news.
No. It's on several different sites. It is legit.
Really?
Well, she should know how to keep her data secure.
That is that is shocking if that's true, Paul. Cybersecurity address, some sort of keynote speech by Hillary? That doesn't even make I can't believe it. We're going to have to look it up.
Go for it, man. Have a good day.
Thanks, Paul. That can't be true. I mean, makes no sense to me if that's true. We'll check it out for you, though. So we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. As we wait for your calls, I did pick up a Roomba. You guys probably know about this. This is an amazing little robot vacuum. And if you don't like vacuuming your house, these little suckers work amazingly. And it literally maps the floor perfectly. You have a complete layout of your house. You share that on the cloud, and then, of course, the bad guys know exactly where the important things are in your house. No, I'm just kidding. But who knows? But the little guy is amazing. It'll do the job, and then it goes back to its little dock, charges back up, chirps on my phone, says he did the job. It's truly powerful. I can't tell you how awesome it is, and I recommend it highly. Our first Roomba was killed by our dog. It literally tore the sensor off the front of it. He did not like the Roomba, and so we kind of waited for a bunch of years before he calmed down a little bit. we got a new one, and man, the technology has really improved. And you have no idea how dirty your house is. I'll just tell you that. We thought we had a fairly clean house. That little thing sucks up so much dirt, it is insane. So let's get back to your calls. Again, three lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Danny wants to get on the phone here with Elon Musk. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, those satellites that he launched for the internet, his Starlink system, he may have internet service in North America by the end of the year.
I did see all those. They did kind of, it was an impressive launch.
Did you see the videos of them in orbit?
Yep, they're going around like a train of
like a string of pearls.
Yeah, are we worried about putting too much junk up there though, Danny?
Well, I don't think so because this is in such a low Earth orbit.
Yeah, they're going to fall out, he said, out of the sky after X number of years.
Well, right, and they can bring them down.
Well, yeah.
And the way they're built, the components are going to be like 98% disintegrable. Mm. You know, it's going to burn up, so there's no hard pieces to worry about debris.
That's good.
But that'd be really something. I mean, they're already communicating and transmitting and everything.
Well, I mean, if it's going to offer free and affordable internet to compete
with... Well, it's not going to be free. It's going to be affordable, but not free.
Good point. Sorry. The word free was actually a slip.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to be free, but affordable internet where it brings down the...
Free.
Yeah, sorry, Bob. Complete slip there. If it's affordable... And competes with the broadband. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You know, I wish him the best. I mean,
if you go to Starlink.com, they've already got the website with some information on it. And they've got a great little graphic on the first page of the satellites in orbit, and you can pinch it up and rotate the globe, and you can see the pattern. It's pretty amazing.
Well, did they talk to you about how much it's going to cost though?
I haven't seen any price yet.
Oh, maybe it is free. No, I'm just kidding.
He's using that to pay for the Starship to Mars. That's going to be his money engine to get the rocket built to go to Mars.
So if you look at that video that they just show up on Starlink, which is kind of interesting, it literally looks like the entire Earth is covered with satellites, like little bugs.
Right. Eventually it will be.
Right. And again, in most of the dystopian films you see out there with all the space junk around the planet as it is now, is that really a good idea? I mean, maybe it is. It just looks like there's going to be an awful lot of stuff up there.
You know, when they start having regular trips up to the moon, it's going to be impossible. It'll be like a shield around the Earth.
Yeah, you can't
won't be
get
able
past.
To get through it.
Unless the Starlinks will open up for you. I don't know.
Well, you know, this one guy years ago, he predicted that if once so many satellites get up there, if there was a lot of space junk, it could cause other satellites to, you know, break up.
Right.
And that it would be a cascade and then would just be enclosed and would be locked out and would be earthbound.
Hey, well, there's that, and well, that's a
Maybe
good.
That's a
even
good idea,
that's
though.
A scary. Well, no, that's a scary. That's a scary point. But looking at all these satellites and understanding how Tesla has a hard time navigating from parked fire trucks on a highway, how are these guys going to not bang into each other?
This is SpaceX, not Tesla.
Oh, same company, the same guy though.
Yeah, but different engineers.
Oh,
I think the guys at SpaceX are much smarter.
All right, let's hope. Well, Danny, thank you for letting us know about it. We'll put a link up
Bye,
there
guys.
For you. Take
Bye
it
on.
Easy. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So Al and Barbara, hang on. You want to talk about facial recognition. You want to talk about anything to do with your technical life. We're happy to chat about it. Or if you got a computer problem, that's what we're here for. Unless all the computer problems are solved, we've been doing this for 24 years. Maybe they are. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And let's get right to your calls. We've got Al and Avon here, nice enough to join us this morning. What's going on, Al?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I bought a new HP Envy laptop.
Nice.
Yeah, and I bought it as a backup, and I'm liking it so much that... My desktop is possibly going to be obsolete shortly.
All right.
Now, two things come to mind. I mean, it's like brand new here.
Yeah.
I noticed they've got a HP support assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got like four
updates or warnings that have to be done?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them are recommended.
Yep.
And some are optional. But they're all centered around the drivers,
right.
It looks like.
Yep.
Do you recommend that I just hit the download and download those?
So generally, as an IT guy, my answer has to kind of be yes, generally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I always have the caveat that you better have your system properly backed up and, you know, all the ability to recover should one of those updates go poorly.
Yeah, right, okay.
They shouldn't go poorly, but in my business, they do. So generally, yes, update your system, but make sure you can recover.
And the second question is, mm-hmm. I made an error, I know, in logic because it was a deal I couldn't resist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all solid state SSD driver.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's small. It's
how big?
120 gigabytes.
Oh boy, that's the whole operating system took that up, didn't it?
Yep.
But they shouldn't even make that. That's the same thing Apple did to their iPads.
Yeah, I'm looking at the storage and the settings.
Yeah.
68 gigabytes are already used, and the thing is just taken out of the box.
I know.
I did one thing. I loaded malware bytes on it.
Okay.
That was it.
Yeah.
So there's 50 left.
All right.
So I'm in a state of fear already that it's going to be.
It's going to be out of space rather soon. So you need to find additional storage. I wouldn't buy a new hard drive for it. I would just find additional external storage.
Right, like flash drives?
More like an external hard drive or a NAS device.
They're very cheap, all of that stuff now.
Generally, yes.
Now, how do I go about logically alternating between the internal SSD and this external storage?
Yeah, you're just going to make a directory on the external storage, and that's where you're going to place your data.
Okay.
So any kind of software you're going to put on the primary hard drive, and then any kind of data you're going to put on the secondary.
Right. Now,
and then you're going to back it up to a tertiary.
Okay. What happens with all these updates all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, your Update Tuesday with Microsoft and all that. Where's that going?
Patch Tuesday went away. Now it's patch every day.
Here we go. Yeah. All right. And next thing you know, it's going to be subscription service monthly on everything.
Maybe. That's possible. Seems but where does the data go, Bob? It's going to go there for a while, and then it's going to clean itself up.
Well, yeah, it goes into a folder. It's a, what is it, something X by X?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's in there. And then it keeps so many versions of the system files. So, you know, it can go back if it has to, so to speak.
And then you have recovery settings, too. You can set X percentage of your disk. But in this case, your disk is so small.
I changed that to like 3%.
Okay.
Yeah. The problem with a small drive is, and even the SSDs are coming through much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could consider buying another SSD drive and cloning the one you have, setting it aside and getting
a
larger one. Yeah, it is in a way. But the point I'm trying to make is if you set your system restore setting, I like to see it at 10%. And the reason is you run into situations where it does system restores, and it only allows you to go back one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you get like an infection or something, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, you know, your system infection before the last system restore that was good before you got the infection is gone.
Right.
So you can't typically restore back to a point before you got the infection and get rid of it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, by default, this laptop came. It was not. It was set at nothing.
It was disabled.
It was disabled.
It's, again, they shouldn't be selling 128 gig SSDs anymore. It's a price point. They're saving you money to get a consumer price point that you found attractive, but it's really not doing you any good.
Really, and the price differential between a 512 and this is really not a lot of money.
It's probably $200 or $300 though.
It is at their end, right?
But yeah.
You'd think internally that raw price is like zip. And
believe it or not, people make a lot of decisions over those small numbers.
Yeah.
Especially companies.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right, so that's what I'm going to have to do. I kind of thought that would be the case.
But yeah.
I'll figure that out.
All right, Al.
Can I just bring it down to a computer shop and have them put in a 512?
You're going to spend an awful lot more money. You may as well just return the laptop and buy a new one at the bigger.
I'm afraid of that answer.
Yeah, I mean, you would spend more doing that than you would just buying the bigger laptop.
I got you. But it's a good machine aside from that, absolutely.
Yeah.
And one last thing, the Rumba you were talking about.
Yeah.
I was listening to one of the founders last week.
Where was he? Where was he talking?
He was on, I think it was Bloomberg.
Okay.
And he's saying now they're going to be getting in lawn mowers.
I can't wait. Just as my kids are becoming too old to mow the lawn, they still whine about it.
There are already lawnmowers out there do that. Yeah,
yeah, but they've got a good size R&D chunk going into that now.
Man, that's like the holy grail of of the next gen stuff, because, you know.
I mean, think about it. If you can get self-driving cars, a lawnmower ought to be easy.
Well,
you
know? Yeah. Oh, definitely.
California's talking about banning lawnmowers that run on gasoline.
I'm surprised they're not banning lawns. So,
that's true. No, that's next. That's true.
Right. Oh, boy.
All right, Al. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, the Roomba lawnmower, man, when that thing works, it's going to come in just in time for me, because I still mow my lawn myself. I'm a crazy person.
That's what I got to do when I get out of here.
Yeah, right. So, and the kids are getting older, and man, they whine about it. So that'll be nice to have a robot do it. Barbara, hang on. We're going to get right to your call after this quick break. Three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Two lines open for you. Feel free to get online. And we'll do our best to help you out with computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Go right to Barbara in Southbury. She's been on the longest. What's going on, Barbara?
Hi.
Hi.
I listen to you regularly, and I hear from you and lots of other places the importance of changing your password.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, with facial recognition as your password, like on a lot of Apple devices.
Mm-hmm.
How do you change that? Because you're not going to change your face.
Well, you're not going to use it.
Wait. And if somebody hacks into their system and downloads their files, which are used to do the facial recognition, what's to keep them from faking you?
Well, right. So there has been discussion of people taking pictures of you and trying to fool the device into seeing your face and unlocking the device. That's why you have two-factor recognition besides it. So you have your face, and then you can have another factor that sends a text to your phone or what have you that says, hey, Barbara, is this okay to open this? And you put the code in. So always use two-factor authentication. That way you can feel a little more comfortable. Again, two-factor on your phone can also be hacked with something called SIMjacking, which is getting too complicated to talk about. But the next step would be to have a physical dongle hanging from your keychain. That would mean without that dongle in proximity to your phone, you couldn't unlock whatever resource you're trying to unlock. So, and Google's also going to build in that 2FA, two-factor authentication, into their Pixel devices coming up in the future. So facial recognition's not a bad thing, especially for passwords. It's going to only open for you unless it's trickable, like you're saying, and everything is. Assume it is. So
going more simple. Isn't there a file someplace that says Barbara's facial recognition file that they use to pull up to make the comparison?
Right.
So
there must be.
Somebody hacks in and gets those files. And I don't know, some companies might be less easily hackable than others.
Right.
But
yeah.
What's to keep somebody from just stealing all those files just like they can steal a password?
Right. No, I think you're probably right. I haven't thought about it too much, but the second factor is the key. Right, so if you've got that one piece, you still need the second piece. Without the second piece, you can't get in, and that will save you. So start with using two-factor authentication for what you do, and you'll be much more secure.
Okay. Thanks for the help.
All right, Barb.
Enjoy the program.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, she's right. You know, she's right to be concerned. You know, you can't assume it's going to be foolproof. Before we go on to the next call here, I do have to bring this up. We did have a call earlier in the program, Paul from Litchfield, I think, who said that former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton was going to be the keynote speaker at a cybersecurity forum. I wouldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I mean, having her as a cybersecurity keynote speaker is like having our, you know, general legislature run your Little League. If you did that, your Little League would be bankrupt and you couldn't play on the ball fields. Why would you have her at a cybersecurity anything? Considering what she did. But it is true. FireEye, this is their actual press release. The intelligence-led security company, which is it's a really amazing cybersecurity company, has announced details, and Hillary Rodham Clinton is a keynote speaker. I can't, You can't make it up. You can't. It's like having Bernie Madoff at some sort of keynote speaker for, you know, financial planners. I wouldn't have believed it in a million years, but it is true. Unbelievable. So she'll probably discuss why it's wrong to put a mail server in your basement. Say that again, Bob. I'm sorry.
I'd still like to know how much she's getting paid.
No kidding. All right, let's get back to more of your calls. We're going to go to Bill in Southbury next. Hey, Bill.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Good. Here's my question.
Yeah.
I have a small flower shop.
Mm-hmm.
I have a point-of-sale software on there from a company called FTD.
Yeah.
And I bought the server from them, and I bought four PCs from them. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, three PCs and a cash register.
Mm-hmm.
And I now have been informed that two of my PCs have Windows 7 on them.
Right.
And that coming in January, Microsoft is no longer going to support them.
Correct.
So my question is, or their offer to me is that they would sell me two more PCs,
mm-hmm.
And then load their software on there for a cost.
Right.
And charge me so much for that.
Right.
My question is, I already have two PCs that already have the point of sale software on them.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I just upgrade from Windows 7 on those two PCs to Windows 10 and be done with it?
You can. But they don't want you to know that. How old is the computer that you were talking about here though, Bill?
They're probably 3 to 4 years old.
You should upgrade them. So our advice that I've been giving to my customers is anything 4 years old and younger, you should upgrade to Windows 10. The software is $188 whole. And you'll use some time to upgrade the machines from Windows 7 to Windows 10 because I would contend those machines have a couple of years of life left in them.
Yeah.
If you hope to get 6 years or so out of your computer, which is what we like to do with our machines for our clients. So if the machine, though, if the Windows 7 computer is 5 years and older, you should replace them. Right?
Okay.
Because spending too much, you know, any money on something that's going to be replaced within a year is not smart. It's not looking
right.
forward. So they probably didn't tell you that piece.
Well, I guess the reason I'm a little sensitive to it is back a while ago, I had just purchased a whole new software system, you know, three or four PCs.
Yeah.
And a server.
Right.
And within 5 months from purchasing that, the Windows server software was then defunct.
That's not good.
And they I had to buy a whole new system,
right.
which is what the system is that I have right now. So it seems like every time Microsoft makes a move, it's costing me a ton of money.
Well,
and
so,
these guys are
yeah,
right in the middle of it.
No, well, those guys are right in the middle of it is really your key phrase. So for them to sell you a system that is already defunct 5 months later means they did not install the latest server operating system in the first place. They did you a disservice. Period.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it's because they don't have the guys with the skill sets to load the current versions of server operating system. That's really where the rubber hits the road these days, is finding server engineers that have the skill sets to understand how to install server 2016 or 2019. 2019 is the latest server that's out there these days. If they did that to you, you really should talk to them about saying, hey, guys, I think you guys should have done a better service by me, and why would you install me something that's literally 5 months going to be obsolete in 5 months? That's highway robbery.
Yeah, I looked at my last question is since I already have the point of sale software on those two PCs.
Yep.
Why would I have to pay another licensing fee to have them reloaded on the new one?
You shouldn't.
They're trying to make money.
You shouldn't. I agree with you completely. When you upgrade the Windows 7 system to Windows 10, there should be no additional licensure costs. And you should ask yourself, you have to ask yourself, you're a florist, right?
Yeah.
I bet you there's other software out there to run your flower shop than what they're offering you, considering what they're doing to you.
And I also run my credit cards through them, which is really where they have the hold on.
Well, you can get credit card processing anywhere. You don't need to go through them.
I like it because it's connected to my point of sale system. So when I put an order in, it can automatically.
I'll guarantee you there are. They're a competition that'll work just as well.
Yeah, I think you've bent over backwards here, Bill, and you've just given me probably three or four examples as to why you probably wouldn't want to continue to do that. Or you need to be a little more aggressive with them and say, come on, this is, I'm done with this. You need to do something here for me because of what they did originally with that five-month deal and now with this one.
I think they found an easy touch.
I'll give you the last reason is there's been announcements, or at least there's been public relations, or a publicly traded company, that they are on the verge of bankruptcy. And talk about putting a scare of threat through all of these probably 5,000 or 6,000 florists in the United States, maybe more. I'm not sure how many use their point of sale.
Right,
is that they may be on the edge, and can you imagine if they would not support or take care of or handle or process my credit cards, what that would do to all of those software systems?
So here's the thing: this is the problem with the cloud, or when you put all your eggs in one large basket. There is really utterly, I mean, we work with so many different businesses from aerospace to manufacturing to accounting to finance, you name the business. There's no reason a flower shop has to be beholden to its software that stringent. Yeah, you guys are selling flowers. What they're selling is not your ability to be creative and sell flowers. They're selling you some sort of turnkey that you believe to be the only turnkey out there for some reason. And it can't be, Bill. When they do, if they do go belly up, what are you going to do? Close the doors? No.
Oh, it'll be chaos time. And
it won't be.
We've had their other competitors call us.
Yeah.
Tell us that, you ought to get on our list now. We're installing new software.
There you go.
So it does put me in a software panic trying to find out what the best move is. And there are a lot of other subtleties in this industry that have to do with what's called wire-in orders from these services,
right?
And how they print it and how it printed out in your software system. So it is a robust point-of-sale system, but...
Yeah. See it as an opportunity. It feels like an opportunity to me, that. Bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good luck with it, man. Just do an upgrade and cross your fingers they're not going to go bankrupt, but I wouldn't put my livelihood in that kind of approach. I'd be proactive and look to replace them.
I'm in the business of looking for a new software system and a team of companies to support the technology. So if it goes down, right now I pay them quite a bit of money every month for the support.
Sounds good, Bill. Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
You got it. Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.